Today I want to follow up. Stu's been preaching, Pastor Stu, from three messages out of Romans 8, and it's perfect for me to pick up right at the end and finish off with that last section, so that we'll be turning to that in a moment. As I was preparing, I was specifically thinking of our high school grads. I see George slipped in late. He wasn't up here, but congratulations, George. I heard he was competing at the... Now, I got to get this right. The provincial high school, this is the provincial high school track and field. Yep. And this is the highest division. You're in the highest division, right? And I heard that George yesterday won the gold medal in pole vault. So congratulations, George. Pardon me? Oh, Rick's here too. Yeah, Rick slipped in late. So Rick Ewing, congratulations, and they'll be joining us, of course, at the lunch, and hopefully you can join us. We'll give them the opportunity to share a little bit about their plans. Parents of the grads are planning to share blessings for their kids, and it's going to be a wonderful time. I think we can take some healthy pride in who these young men and women are becoming. In my brief time here at Skyview, I've had the opportunity to get to know a number of our students, and I've been impressed with our youth ministry, with our students, and their genuine desire to serve in the church, to serve in our community, in the world, and to honor God. And I do commend our parents, our youth leaders, and specifically the grads themselves. And I truly do hope it can be said of us as a church, and more so in the days ahead, even so, but I hope it can be true today that the people here, that this community has been a large part of who you are and who you are becoming. That's been on our heart for our church. We've been working through this vision process, and you're wondering where that's going, and we're refining it. We hope to present that in the fall, but we've really, one thing that's come out clear from our leaders, something that's on our heart, is we want to be a church focused on blessing our children and our youth, helping them grow and discover the great plans God has for them. Of course, for everyone, not just our children and youth, but one of the best parts of being in a church, and specifically staying in a church for a long time. I know there's lots of great churches, but one advantage to staying with a church, to sticking with a church through the good times and difficult times, is seeing kids grow up, to see them do well, to see them serve. It was wonderful to be at district assembly and see one of one of the young girls that was literally a young girl when I was on staff there, now a delegate serving with youth with a mission. You don't get to see those kids grow up if you move frequently. And you may not feel, I know not everyone is called to serve in specific ministry, children or youth ministry, but one thing that we want to call our people to and make a goal in our church is ask our people to speak into the lives of our young people. Learn their names. Make it a priority to pray for them. This has been what we've been talking in our parents group and in our children's ministry teams. The importance of mentoring, of developing intergenerational relationships. It's not just the job of our youth leaders. We just connected with a friend of ours who moved to Airdrie. We just found out she had moved to Airdrie, and that's where we live. And she's a senior lady. She's just had her 85th birthday. Her name's Dorothy Bolton. And when I was in Rocky Mountain House in the church, she was one of those seniors that had a heart for youth. She prayed for youth. She greeted them with hugs. One young teenager that was connected to our youth group, wasn't a part of a church. Dorothy adopted her, Stacy. She would take her out for Cokes at A&W, and was a huge part in Stacy's faith journey. And you may not be a youth leader or a children's leader, but you can develop those friendships. Those are essential. Well, grads, we didn't put the pressure on you to share your future plans, though at the T, we're going to do that, and you don't have to share. Some of you are not ready yet to answer that question. You're still figuring it out. Some might have your future all mapped out, and that's a dangerous thing to do, to map out everything, college graduate, 22, married at 23, kids at 24. Scott was telling me that he plans to stay at home and mooch off his mom as long as possible. Just kidding. No, he didn't tell me that. But I had to get back at Rose because this week at district assembly, I don't even understand the context, but she told me I look like a psycho. Do I look like a psycho? Scott's actually going to be serving at Camp Harmattan this summer, our summer camp. So keep Scott in prayer. He's excited about that. He'll be serving our children and our youth. I knew you were joking, Rose, and so was I. When I finished high school, I was eager to move away, to get out, to have some separation and make my own decisions. And some of you are probably there. My resolve was tested my first week. I'd moved actually to Calgary to go to school here at our Bible college. And I remember the first week we had some kind of a student welcome camp or whatever, and I was playing sports, and of course my glasses broke, and I'm pretty blind without my glasses. And when I, of course, you grow up at home, something like that happens, you go to mommy and daddy, I'm in trouble, and all of a sudden I was in trouble. I didn't have mommy and daddy to call, although I did have to call them to get my prescription for me, but I had to take care of that. So in preparing today's message, I was specifically thinking about our students, our grads, but it does apply to all of us, I think. I know. And as I mentioned, I'm picking up in Romans chapter 8. I think the reading in the bulletin and on the projector, if we got it, is picks up at verse 31. But I think I'll go back to verse 28 and read the portion that Stu preached on last week as well. The word of the Lord. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, the relief and the freedom of graduation comes with pressure. What am I going to do? Who am I going to be? Grads, are you sick of being asked that question yet? What are you going to do next? Though you might not be entirely sure, you don't want to let people down, so you feel the pressure. I need to have it figured out. I need to give a good answer. Let me say to you, it's okay to not know all the specifics. In fact, if you're not sure how to answer that question, and some well-meaning person in our church asks you that question today, you can feel free to just turn the question back on them and ask them, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm still working that through. Tell me what God is calling you to do with your future. And likely you'll find out that a lot of us old folks are still trying to figure that out. Many people have advice about what to do, what you should do next, and maybe you're sick of receiving advice too, whether it's go to college, get a good job, save your money, marry the right person, all good things, important things. But the question is, how do you choose? One good answer that's often given is do what you love, and certainly good advice. We define ourselves by what we love. We define ourselves by what we do. When we meet someone in our society, when we meet someone new, we ask them, what do you do? That's the first thing that we ask about people. That's how we identify ourselves. In our society, maybe a materialistic society, we define ourselves by what we produce, what we make. We define ourselves by what we consume. We might link our identity to things, whether you are a Ford guy or a Chevy guy, or if you drive a car from Japan like Stu, we'll forgive him, but domestic, Stu, domestic. Instead of defining us by what we do, Romans 8 defines us by what has been done for us. We define ourselves by what we love, but our true identity is found in who loves us. We are the beloved children of the Heavenly Father. That's the climax of this section, this passage in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God loves you. Jesus loves you. It's a very simple message. In fact, my 20-month-old can already kind of sing the song, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me." It's incredibly cute. She only hits words here and there, but she's got the timing down. Jesus loves you. We all know that. But the question is that truth rooted in our hearts? We doubt whether it's actually true, don't we? That's the root, I think, of a lot of our rebellion, a lot of our sin. If you think of Adam and Eve and the first sin in the garden, when the snake came and tempted them, it really played off their doubt. Does God really love you? Does God really have your best interests at heart? And they began to doubt, and so they chose, well, maybe God's withholding something from us. Maybe He doesn't have our best interests at heart. Maybe He's holding out. And so they ate the fruit. Are you confident of God's love for you? Do you know that God has your best interests at heart? That in the things that ultimately matters, God will not let you down? I know we doubt it. When our conscience is tested, when trials come, we wonder and we doubt. The scripture, Romans 8, tells us we can be fully confident of God's love for us. We can count on it. We can bank on it. Why? Verse 32 says it this way. It says, God did not spare the most precious thing. God did not spare His beloved Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also give us all things, everything else? If God has already gone to the length for us of giving up that which was most precious for us, His Son, I mean, at the beginning, is there anything else that He's going to withhold from us? Is He going to get petty now? If God has already gone that far for us, how can we doubt His resolve to come through for us in the end? I'll give an illustration. Stu's used this illustration a couple times, one of his go-to illustrations, mine too. It's equally true for me in my marriage. I'm confident of my wife's love for me, of Becky's love for me, because she's seen me at my worst. She's remained faithful to me during difficult times when I haven't been easy to love. Times where you could even say that not only have I looked like a psycho, but I've acted like one. Okay. So I have this gift in my marriage, in my relationship with my wife. I don't have to live with fear. I don't have to live with insecurity because Becky's convinced me that she's in it for the long haul. Not only was it a vow she said on our wedding day, but she's proven it day by day by day, that she will stand by me through the good and the bad. Earlier in Romans, in chapter 5, Paul said it this way, and I'll paraphrase it a little bit. He says, God proves his love for us in this. While we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, Jesus died for us. And now that we've been reconciled to him, now that we've been forgiven, won't he certainly love us to the end? If God did this for us while we were enemies, while we were in rebellion, if he gave his son for us, now that we're forgiven, certainly he's not going to back out now. We can fully trust in the Lord. We can boldly commit ourselves to serve God fully. We can say yes to God's plans for us. As we sang earlier, I surrender. We can do so with confidence. We can commit our dreams, our hopes, our plans to the Lord because we know that God has got our back, that God is fully committed to us. We struggle with God's will in our life, and most of the time, God has given us the gift of freedom, of choice. Sometimes he gives us very specific directions. You are to do this. You are to go this path. But often it's more general than that. And perhaps you do not know specifically what God is calling you to do. You don't have your future all mapped out. Perhaps God hasn't called you specifically into any one career or path. But there are some things we can be clear on. God is calling us to use whatever we do to honor him 100%, not halfway. And the question for each of us is this, the question for our grads is this, will I go my own way or will I commit my path to God? We have tremendous opportunities. God has given us tremendous opportunities right in our backyards to serve him, to be part of what he is doing in the world, to defend the orphan, to care for the widows in their distress, to welcome the foreigners, to serve the poor, to love Christ. And the good news is that God loves us deeply. God loves you deeply. God is with you. And as Romans 8 puts it, God is for you. And if God is for us, if God has your back, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid of. The language in the passage is the language of the courtroom. And the passage essentially says this. It says we don't have to fear the accuser. We don't have to fear the prosecutor. Because Jesus is our lawyer, our advocate, and God is the judge and the jury, and Christ has already paid the price to set us free. God is for us. God is for you. We can trust him. Does this mean that whatever we pursue, that God's going to bless it? No. Pastor Stu covered that last week. God's plan and purpose in our life is to make us whole, to change our hearts, to change our life so that we share the likeness of Christ. God isn't comfortable just leaving us where we are. He wants to take our sin-sick, selfish hearts and give us hearts of love. God loves us towards his good purposes. It's not a loosey-goosey, it doesn't matter what you do kind of love. There is truth that God will love us no matter what, whether our behavior is good or bad, that will not change God's love for God's heart for us. But our choices, our behavior greatly matter. In this life, in this world, we've been reading over the last few weeks, hearing in the last few weeks that we aren't promised health and wellness, health and wealth, sunshine and roses all the time. But we can be encouraged because those things pale in comparison with what we are promised. We can count on several things. We can count on this. No matter what, God will be with us. Through the worst that life has to offer, and sometimes it can be downright awful, God goes before us and walks beside us. He will never leave or forsake. His grace is sufficient in any trial we face. We can be confident that God's love for us never fails. We can count on God to have our back. We have a sure and certain hope that his good purposes will be accomplished. So the question for us, for the question for our grads is, will you commit your future, your plans, your dreams, your decisions to the Lord? I want to give you two verses, two promises that we can count on. The first, familiar verses, Sunday school verses. The first is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Yesterday I had the opportunity to attend a memorial service, and many of you know the person who was for it. It was for Dan Dirksen. Dan was a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene for many years. In fact, Reverend Dan Dirksen, pastored North Hill, Calgary North Hill Church, which is really part of Skyview's story now. North Hill is, formed a congregation that became Skyview. And so you could even say that Dan was one of our pastors, our previous pastors. And this was, his family mentioned that this was his theme verse for his life. And they shared a testimony that Dan had written in his life when he was making decisions. He had a plan. He grew up as a farmer's kid, and he had a dream, a plan to be a rancher, a wealthy rancher. And I don't know how many farmers are wealthy, but that was his dream. And he was out farming with his dad, and the Lord had been impressing on Dan the call to give it up, to serve him, to go into ministry. And Dan wrestled with it, but he surrendered. And this verse from Proverbs 3 became Dan's theme verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." And Dan had written out his testimony around his 80th year for his family. But he says, this was what I did with my life. I trusted the Lord, and God has not let me down. And I know there are people here today who would have that same testimony. And so we can say with confidence to our young people, trust in the Lord, commit your path to him, and he will not let you down. The second verse, Dan read it as our call to worship this morning, and I just want to draw our attention to it again. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." We always think of what we have to give up. God calls us some way, and it maybe is not a way we thought of going. And we think of all we have to give up, our dreams, our hopes, our old plans. But that verse reminds us, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we choose his way, we don't have to worry. He will give us the desires of our heart. In closing, let me ask a couple questions. How is God leading you? And how is God leading our church? That's probably the place we need to start. Have you taken time to seek the leading of God's Spirit? Especially as you make major decisions, these major decisions, we're making major decisions as a church, but as individuals, have you stopped to ask the Lord, how are you leading me? And I'd encourage you actually right now, just in this moment, let's ask those questions. Lord, how are you leading me? That's where we need to begin. The next question is, are you resisting God? Perhaps you're afraid, perhaps we're afraid to commit because you're not sure, you're not confident that God will really take care of you. This morning, there's an opportunity for us to say yes. Will you say yes to God? We sang it earlier, "I surrender," perhaps not necessarily thinking through all the ramifications of that. It might be about your future, the career that you will choose, the school you will attend. Perhaps God might be speaking to someone about a relationship that needs to be reconciled. Perhaps God is calling to you about a ministry or a person that you need to serve. We're going to pray in a moment, and I think it would be appropriate to go a little old school, and I'm going to take a bit of a risk here, and I'm going to ask if there is anyone here this morning who's feeling convicted, whose God's Spirit has been speaking to, and who just wants to say yes to God, "Your will be done. I will listen, I will follow, I will trust you." If that is you, I'm just going to ask you just to stand where you are. We're going to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the mic. I'm not going to put put you on the spot. I'm not going to put the microphone in front of your mouth and make you share anything publicly. We're simply just going to celebrate with you and pray for you. Is there anyone who senses God calling you today? Is there anyone who's ready to say, "Yes, I will follow"? We want to pray with you this morning. If that's you, would you stand now? We're not going to take a long time with this, but if that's you, we just want to be able to pray with you, support you, and encourage you, and celebrate with you. Is there anyone else? Amen. Joe, would you come? And we just want to pray with you just right up front here. If anyone else... would anyone else say, "Yes, that's me, I surrender. Your will be done in my life"? Jen, would you come? And anyone else who would like to just come and gather around Joe, and we're going to pray. Last chance, if anyone else would like to come, would say, "Yes, Lord, your will be done. I commit myself to you." Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning that your plans for us are good. We thank you for the length that you have gone for us while we were still sinners, when we wanted nothing to do with you or your ways, when we had turned our backs and run the other way. You went to the indignity of chasing us down, of not letting us go. Lord, we confess that often we doubt you. Often we think our way is best. And today, this morning, we say, "Yes, Lord, your will be done." Give us open ears to hear you and respond. And Lord, we just thank you for our sister Jo this morning. We pray your blessing upon her. We pray that you would affirm her as your daughter, that she would know your love for her. We pray that you strengthen the desire of her heart to serve you with her life. Speak to her, provide for her, bless her abundantly, and give her strength for whatever calling you've placed upon her life. We pray that her life would bear fruit for your glory. Heavenly Father, again, we commit our grads to you. We pray that they would have strength and courage to follow you. Bless them, give them strength, encourage them, remind them of your love for them. Help us as a church, Lord. We pray for our church, our leadership, the decisions we need to make. Lord, we surrender our will, our desire to you, and pray that you would be glorified in our ministry and the decisions we make in this neighborhood. Lord, we do confess our weakness. We ask for your forgiveness in ways we have held back. And we pray that that would be true of us no more. We thank you that you haven't given up on us, that you have good plans for us. And we pray that in the days ahead, we might be used by you. We might participate with you to see lives blessed, people encouraged. We thank you, God, and we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I do just want to say again, too, if you do have if God is saying something to you, certainly don't just keep it to yourself, but find someone that you can share it with who will encourage you and support you. Pastor Stu and I are always available here at the church after the service or anytime. But praise God for what he's doing in our lives and in your life, and we just want to affirm that. We're going to close, and Dan and Matt and Stacey are coming to close us. And the last song, again, is an opportunity for us to respond. It's a new song, but it's based on the Lord's Prayer. And again, the prayer is, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done on earth. Let your will be done in my life. So I'm going to turn it over to our worship team.